to build a dome. So the Browns, just so we're clear, the city of Cleveland, not really that serious about keeping the Browns, in so much that they're like willing to pay the cost of business for the Browns. They are willing to go ahead. If the Browns do everything that fits the city of Cleveland, they really want them here, boy. Yeah. Let me tell you about that. Hey, if this works out everything perfectly, I am so sick. We got to get to Brian Casey and Chris Ronayne and Justin Bibb. Kucinich is weighed in. If I, Nick Wilson, taxpayer, Northeast Ohio, if I agree to keep the Browns in the city of Cleveland, can I round up every local politician and put them on like an Acme rocket and just fire them at the, because we got that extra moon right
that's
now.
True, that's your one wish?
Yeah.
Extra moon.
So this is, by the way, this is really impressive.
Okay.
All it is, I'm going to tell you right now, the Browns are going to Brook Park. All this is politicians either trying to find their own cut of whatever's getting shaved off here financially, or they really are just thinking about re-election or maybe running for a new office like some people in the county. I'm just speculating here.
Nobody wants to be in charge when this thing goes down the way it's going down.
Yeah, so we don't want the Browns here because it doesn't work for us financially. We also don't want the political liability of losing the Browns to Brook Park. And I'm going to say that again because they lost them to Brook Park, not to Connecticut. But that is the latest on the Browns stadium situation. Politicians are, in fact, phony, entitled, and have nobody's best interest other than their own. I'm going to break some news here. But we obviously, the Browns, complete bleep show. Here we are, 1-6. Deshaun's done for the season. And to help us make sense, one of our favorite guests here, Albert Breer of the MMQB, joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, buddy. How you doing?
Well, I didn't say I'd be able to make sense of all of it.
Fair point.
I mean, I think the goal is if you don't do it, nobody can. Is that better? Did I just put more pressure on you?
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I'll do my best.
Well, we'll do, that's all any of us do on any given day talking about the Browns. Okay, Deshaun Watson. What are the chances that you think there are that Deshaun Watson suits up again for the Cleveland Browns?
It's such an unprecedented situation, so it's hard to say. I think, like, the right path here, the path they'll probably take is that they draft one with a high pick in April, and then they let that quarterback compete with Deshaun Watson to be the starter. I just, at this point, like, if you get rid of them, like, there is, I guess, the intrinsic benefit of, all right, we're done with that and let's move on. But I mean, there's no financial benefit, right? Because I mean, no one's going to pay him what he is making. So there's no motivation for anyone to give him anything but the minimum, which is all you get offset. I feel like this year it was like, we need to take another swing with him. He's got 3 years left fully guaranteed. I don't know that, like, much changes logistically about where you're at. So, there's no difference cutting him in March versus cutting him in September, right? So you could carry him on the roster. There's no difference so we'll ride this out. We'll let him compete. Maybe he's got a fire lit under him, and he winds up playing really well for us, and we get to sit the rookie. Or it's not going anywhere. The rookie is going to start. We cut him in August, you know? So it's a complicated situation, and because there's no real precedent for it. I think the most likely scenario is in some form or fashion, he's back in the roster next year with competition in house.
Does any of your answer change if it's not Stefanski and Barry in charge?
I mean, maybe, yeah, that's the one thing. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know what you would be. I don't know that you can really say that outside of this one decision, Stefanski and Barry have too many black marks on their resume. Like, I think they've done a really good job outside of this. And obviously, like, this was something that was done in conjunction with ownership. I think Stefanski and Barry will be in place. If somebody else is in place, maybe they would be empowered to go in a different direction with them. Sure, I think that's a fair thing to say, but... And maybe you'd need to do that to get somebody to take the job, because the reality is, in today's NFL, I mean, do you really have more than a couple years to prove that you're going in the right direction? So if you're going to hire a coach to come in and Deshaun's got 2 years fully guaranteed left on his contract, I mean, saddling the new coach with that, it's a tough thing to do. So you would think you'd have to empower the new coach to at least have some power over the decision-making when it comes to what's going to happen with them.
Albert, I know this is a big, big, big question, and I know that it might not be a simple answer, but because it does feel like it's over, even if he's still on the roster, why didn't it work out with Deshaun 3 years in?
So I'll give you guys what I think, based on what I know, and also like a little speculation. Okay, I think Deshaun Watson came in here empowered by the contract and a little bit of a broken person. Because and look, like I you know, obviously, like what he was accused of is awful, and you know, to what degree he's guilty of that, I don't think very many people know for sure. Regardless of what you think about that, I do think to some degree he was really messed up by everything. And so, like, he comes in, I think, messed up. I don't think, like, he was in the right frame of mind to be the football player that he was before, now looking back on it in retrospect. And I think one of the things that led him to having great success in Houston was how tough the coaches were on him there. And it was a tough love where they were able to establish respect with him and establish trust with him. And, you know, I think because those coaches were coaching him hard and they were difficult on him, he made gains really, really fast because he's very football smart, you know. And because of who he was previous to all this, he endeared himself to teammates and teammates played for him. And that's not what the Browns have done or have gotten in Deshaun Watson since then. And, you know, I think in addition to maybe not having people who are as tough on him, and maybe because, like, he is being seen as being a little more fragile, you know, like, he's not making the progress he was when he was in Houston. And then you see, like, some other things they do, like not bringing Joe Flacco back and firing Alex Van Pelt. And it's like, I mean, the message that's getting sent to him is, well, this isn't your fault. We're going to fix everything around you. And I'm not saying that the Haslams or Andrew Berry or Kevin Stefanski wanted to send that message, because obviously the contract influences all of it. But, you know, if you're Deshaun, how are you going to take it? Well, all right, like, you know, like, maybe it's not my fault. Maybe it is everything around me. So, you know, I think it's just a lot of things. And I know that's a long-winded answer, but I think what Deshaun needs right now is somebody to be tough on him. I think he needs to get back to being the person he was before all of this. You know, and that has nothing to do with the off-field stuff. I'm just talking about the guy he was in the locker room and in the building in Houston. And I don't know how you get him back there. You know, I think it's going to take a lot on his part and a lot on the team's part, whatever team it is, to get him back to where he was. But remember, this is a guy who at halftime of that game in the AFC divisional round in 2019 was up 24-0, on the Chiefs. And, you know, I think all of us at that point were talking about him and Patrick Mahomes in the same breath. So it's been a pretty precipitous fall since then.
Albert, what are the odds, in your opinion, that the Browns would be competitive next year? You know, let's say they draft a quarterback. Is the team down to the studs, the bare bones, enough where we're not going to be competitive next year, or with a quarterback we would be competitive?
Well, I think, like, a lot of it's going to depend on how they view their roster and how they view the window for the players they put in place now. Because I think the Deshaun Watson trade has really firebombed the plan that they had, which was a good one, with the guys they have in place right now. And, I mean, you guys know the names. Amari Cooper's already gone, but he was here. You know, Elijah Moore and, you know, receiver, and then Nick Chubb at running back, Jack Conklin, Jed Wills, Joel Bitonio, Wyatt Teller on the offensive line, Miles Garrett at defensive end, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa at linebacker, Denzel Ward at corner. Where are they at with that core? You know what I mean? Like, and are they in a position where it's like we have to start selling off parts because, you know, these guys are going to age out before we're able to win again? Or are they going to hang on to the core and try to keep winning with the core, you know? I will say this, like, teams are going to call on those guys over the next couple of weeks ahead of the trade deadline. So what do the Browns do there? We might get something telegraphed there. And teams will make those calls after the season as well. So, I think the Browns have put together a really nice core of players. I think Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski have done a nice job developing players that they've drafted and assimilating players they brought in from the outside. Now I think you have to make a decision and you have to be realistic with yourself about where the window is with this group of players and with the information you have right now on the quarterback that you brought in to be that guy. So I think the hope was over the next 2.5 months, they would get a lot more information on who Deshaun Watson is as a quarterback and will be going forward. And obviously, as it stands right now, this is the information that they're going to have going into 2025.
Albert Breer on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So I know JP kind of asked you a similar question, but we were haggling over semantics here. So I'm trying to figure out which one of these works best. Are the Browns rebuilding, retooling, or the dreaded T word, tanking potentially?
I would say retooling. I still think they have enough. Now, like, if you're the Browns, do you feel strongly enough about your core of players to say in the off season trade for Matthew Stafford and wind up biting the bullet and cutting Deshaun Watson and eating all that cash and all that cap and then mortgaging a bunch of contracts so you can find a way to make it work? It'd be really hard to do that, and you'd be setting yourself up for probably a murky year or two in, say, like 27 and 28. Do you feel that strongly about the core where you're going to do that? Or do you look at it and say, we aren't there now. We're going to have a really hard time getting there over the next couple of years. So instead of just hanging on to this and hoping to make it work at quarterback in a conference where you have, Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow and C.J. Stroud, all those names, do you feel like you're just not going to be able to get there, and now is the time to start to rework the makeup of the roster? That's a decision they're going to have to make after the year for sure.
Albert, you're the best, buddy. We appreciate you. And, we got 10 more games this season to talk about, but it you being here makes it easier.
Well, hopefully I made sense of something.
I think we got a little closer. That's all.
Oh, definitely.
It's still the Browns. Like, you can't make sense of a senseless situation, right?
Yeah. Well, God bless the people who've been around it for so long. Your Mary Kate Cabot of the world. She deserves hazard pay for what she's seen.
We all do. Albert, be good, buddy. Appreciate you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Albert Breer there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I wanted to ask him about your pumpkin dilemma. I forgot at the last second because threw me off thinking about hazard pay and the things we deserve here. Yeah. We'll react to what Albert had to say about the situation the Browns are in going forward on 92.3 The Fan. MMQB just moments ago there giving us his thoughts on the state of the Browns. Some options there for the Browns. And by the way, the Buckeyes back off the bye and ready for the stretch run of the season. Myself and Spencer German break down everything around Ryan Day and the Buckeyes on the Sons of the Shoe podcast. Subscribe now at the free Odyssey app, 92.3thefan.com, wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Spotify. Have I mentioned Apple? Follow Sons of the Shoe today. So your takeaway from what Albert said is that you're a little more conspiratorial. I didn't know if that was an on-air thing.
I don't think that advances any part of the rejoin is what I'm going to get after there. We can go down that road if you want. We can, and maybe we will in a couple minutes. But that's fascinating, throwing Matthew Stafford's name into the mix.
I don't have any interest in that. And what? I actually like Matthew Stafford a lot.
Oh, no, that gave me hope.
Why? Well, you're just going to be doing the quarterback thing another 2 years later.
Well, no, you would draft a quarterback, and then I would assume you'd also then trade for Matthew Stafford, and the Matthew Stafford would be, it'd have a little bit of a placeholder, like a one-year placeholder, kind of like the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes that we didn't start year one. That was my assumption there. Did I misread that?
No, maybe we just didn't see it the same way. But why not just bring back Joe Flacco for like $8 million to start next year?
I think Matthew Stafford's better than Joe Flacco.
Well, yeah, but if it's a one-year placeholder, like, it's a placeholder. And you've proven you can win with that guy previously, and it would maybe satiate some of the fans who are not happy.
It just doesn't put us in the toilet. I'm very convinced we're going to be... I just think I'm worried about next year, Nick.
We're not even done with this year, and I'm worried about next year. Did you want to be in the toilet?
No, I said I'm worried we're going to be in the toilet.
Okay, but how does Matthew Stafford keep you out of the toilet?
Because Matthew Stafford can win you 10-11 games. 9-10-11 games.
Not single-handedly. He's not doing that
with
in
this,
L.A. now.
And I've been very despondent about the offensive core. I think there's a lot of pieces to this team that I really like. A lot of them live on the defensive side of the ball. So maybe you are right in that respect. Maybe Matthew Stafford, in and of himself, cannot be enough to go ahead and get this offense to where it needs to be.
And that's if Jameis doesn't save us first.
Couldn't say it with a straight face?
No.
Couldn't do it?
No. See.
So what do you think we're going to do? Draft a quarterback and bring back Joe Flacco and then try to make that all work? I mean, it doesn't feel very good.
Well, because work is subjective. You know, like, they're not going to win the Super Bowl next year. Okay. That's out the window. So it's about... Like, to me, it's like you got to start building this thing in a way that's sustainable. And one of the flawed logics of we're going to just bring back what we did last year is you're relying on a lot of part-time or platoon players or one-year guys, short-timers. So the one thing that Deshaun failing tremendously, one of the things that actually frees you from is continuing to go back to that well. Now becomes the next 10 games are about let's develop as many guys as we can. Let's make a decision on Kevin. And I'll be honest with you. I think it's on Kevin. It's not on Andrew, but that's a discussion for another day. And let's set us up for next year. And then this next year will be about, okay, if we end up going 10-7 and going to the playoffs, and if we do the jump start, the best version of this will be 3 years ahead of it. If next year ends up, if this is a completely lost year and next year you're a 7 or 8 win team, you might have that. This is more than, I think, getting the right quarterback, even a young one that might lose you some games in the beginning. That's the biggest part of this, but this might be a 2 year plan or at least a 1.5 year plan instead of a 1 year fix. And Stafford just feels like a cheap fix, an organization chasing shortcuts. And they've done that enough with the Deshaun trade. It's time to go ahead and retool this thing in a way where you can win back-to-back years.
What'd you make of the comments about Deshaun Watson competing with whatever quarterback this is? I thought that was interesting as well.
That'd be a no for me, dog.
I have a big no for me.
Yeah.
100% of a no.
Can we get that broken guy back? The guy who's a shell of himself, can we get him?
I thought we took all the weight of Deshaun off our shoulders. I thought we already did that. Wasn't that what yesterday and parts of today were about? We're free of Deshaun.
I'm free
of
falling worry like about Tom Deshaun. Petty, baby.
I love it. I keep that mentality. I don't love the idea that Albert's like, yeah, there could be. Because you know what? This Browns organization might be crazy enough to think that Deshaun still has something left in the tank after this year, which is insane. It's insanity.
I think you
injury prone and stinks at quarterback. That's an awful combo.
He also apparently is William H. Macy in the movie The Cooler. He's apparently a cooler. Yeah. Like that's what he is. I don't want.
I just love how you described it in the movie The Cooler. He's the cooler.
I didn't want anybody to think he was like Alec Baldwin, the mob boss.
Yeah. Okay.
But no, I there's a part of me where it's like, listen, the only way out is through. All right, another great former Cleveland media member used to say that all the time, and that's where you are. So when it comes to the financials of Deshaun, nope, he'll be here next year. He'll be inactive, and then your job is to keep him away from the new quarterback and not to cool the new quarterback and depress him.
I 100% agree with that.
But you can do both things, but you are going to need a veteran, and it's not Jameis. Yeah,
Well, Jameis was for Deshaun. I think we can all make peace on that, right?
Well done, Jameis.
Well, that's
you sunk our battleship in seven games.
You heard
games.
His speech. That was part of the reason why he was here.
To build him up.
Uh-huh. To make sure that, first off, Deshaun had somebody that he could confide in and somebody that he could trust. And really, somebody that he's a friends with, by the way, is another key component to that. But somebody that had been through what Deshaun had gone through with all the allegations and such. Like, that's why he was here. He's got no business being on this roster after Deshaun. He's no business.
You're right. But he's going to be the starting quarterback for at least the next 2 weeks.
Well, he gets this next week for sure, and then we'll see what happens from there.
Have we all just come to the conclusion this season ends with like Luis Perez being the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
This is a full Gradkowski year, right?
Where we could get William H. Macy in the cooler being our quarterback. It could be anybody.
At that point, we actually kind of do need the cooler so we can just get that one
win.
Will
we see a Bailey Zappe start at any point?
Oh, we're one hit away.
That's almost a foregone conclusion. Bailey Zappe's going to play games.
Here's how the sickness of being a Browns fan works. That at this point,
I can't get excited for those games.
At this point, I'm like, when do we look at this Zappe kid? That's where we're at. He had four good games 4 years ago. At what point do we just start to, maybe we can get that Kevin offense back and maybe just do it. Man, if you guys thought this offense stunk with a quarterback that could move around, wait till you put a couple statues back there.
Hey, we did see Bailey Zappe with the Patriots, and he beat us. He beat us pretty bad in that
game. That's true. I remember people were like, "Is this the next Michael Vick?" They said.
That's what they said back then.
Let's go with Scott in Brecksville. Welcome to the show, Scott. Scott.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, fellas.
Yes, sir. What you got?
Hey, Scott.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we're talking about rebuilds again. I thought we were done with this conversation about 4 years ago, but it is where we're at right now. So, give me that off my chest. Here's how I look at it. Provided everyone plays at their max potential, I don't have any issues with the way how our defense is right now, so I'd say keep the defensive core intact. So the main issue is with the offense. What I would do if you put me in charge of the whole thing, I would get Barry his walking papers. I'd keep Stefanski around because as much as how bad it was this year, when you give him his offensive scheme in place, it's solid. I'm convinced that his way is the right way to go about it. So going into next offseason, quarterback-wise, I wouldn't cut Deshaun, but I wouldn't let him start. I would basically say, hey, look, we'll keep paying you. Just sit in the corner right there and just don't do anything. But I would bring in a veteran for 2 years, and there's a reason why I say 2 years, so bear with me on this. For the 25 offseason, I would retool and fix up the offensive line, maybe add a wide receiver or two, and then go into 25 with the veteran, and that's it. The 26 draft, you then go out and take Arch Manning. I don't like any of the quarterbacks for this upcoming draft class, but I definitely like what Arch Manning is. You sit Arch on the bench for the entire 26 season, and then you start for the 27 season, and by that point he has a full Patrick Mahomes-like transition phase. And for the next two years,
2047, we might be good at football, Scott.
Well, hey, it took the Indians 40 years to be finally become relevant again. It might become the same thing for the Browns, but that's the way how I would do it. The next 2 years, make it a ground-and-pound, defense-oriented team, and then 27, you turn the ball over to Arch and then see what happens.
Don't raise your eyebrows when he says ground-and-pound.
Scott, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much. You had me a pound, Scott.
Your boy took a pounding.
It just doesn't take that long. Like,
no, good, it shouldn't.
Good organizations don't take that long. Oh. I understand why it feels bleak to some people. It's not that bleak. Like, I think we're missing the most important step. The next 10 games separates the wheat from the chaff. And honestly, the next two games really start to separate who's going to be here and not, because you have the deadline, which is an artificial thing.
Well, and we're 10.5-point underdogs against the Ravens. So
hey, don't sell them short. They're 11-point dogs.
Is it 11 now? Yeah. I mean, great.
Yeah, we got
after last night,
point.
You're right. It probably should have moved in that direction.
Yeah. I just like the idea somebody in Vegas is like, 10.5 points, not enough for the Browns. Let's give them
a 5-touchdown, 0-interception performance by Lamar. That's a half a point.
Let's hit him with another half point there. Fix the Browns. One more segment to go in a night for fathers and sons on 92.3 The Fan.